This gives us a bridge or a place in which we can talk about the issues of Afro descendants. And there are many, more than 200 million people in this hemisphere right here, or in this part of northern and southern hemisphere of the Americas, 150 million of them in Latin America and the Caribbean, of which 90% of them live below the poverty line. So I think it's a very important issue to talk about things that are relevant to Afro descendants and try to find solutions to that, different other ways in which you can talk about the issue of equity, reparations, all the things.
Do you think that recent incidents between U.S. police officers and African Americans suggest that intolerance is growing, at least in the U.S.?
There's another reason why, certainly when we think about the various groups that have formed, whether it's the Dream Defenders, the Black Lives Matter, the Color of Change, all those groups, and many more, of talking about what is the impact of African Americans right now? How do we change the relationship? How do we create another narrative about what is happening to African Americans? You take that narrative that's being discussed and developed and organized in the United States, you put that where it's happening in other places like Peru or like Ecuador or like Venezuela, Brazil, or everything else, then you have some sort of understanding that the problems that exist for African Americans, while not the same, are similar to those that exist for other African descendants everywhere. This is a chance for all of us to come together and convene a conference, something that has been talked about, and the Venezuelan government has now committed itself to such a summit in 2016. This provides an enormous opportunity to talk about not only our legacy, but we deal with the issues, as I said, in climate change and global warming. Those who are most impacted, and certainly are African descendants and poor people.
To what extent do you think that one of the objectives of the decade should be the push for reparations for the victims of slavery? One of the issues that you've been campaigning on.
Well, one of the issues I have certainly been campaigning against, and so strongly. Maybe now we have this resonating in a different way. And there's a popular consent. And how do we build that popular consent? You know, how do we begin to have real discussions, transformative discussion? If in a situation that African descendants who populate not only Europe, but the Americas and everything, African descendants were the key component of the structure of the system that we live in, capitalism now, then what are the kind of components that we can talk about in reference to them? Whether it's colonialism in Africa and various other forms of colonialism in the New World and slavery and the extracting of resources, human resources from that. How do we now speak of that within this decade and use this as a platform to build and have a frank discussion? And not be dismissed, not have somebody like the British Prime Minister saying, get over it. It's the past. It is enormous, has an enormous effect on African descendants, certainly in my country. I know that.
In this 70th anniversary year, what's your dream for the UN going forward?
It is the most amazing opportunity we have in collaboration with civil society and true collaboration with governance and everything else to make the changes that are appropriate now in the world. I found that I've been and experienced so many various things with people, human beings, who are trying to find means by which they elevate their daily lives through UNICEF and through my work with United Nations Development Fund, UNDP. So I found that the UN has the great possibilities. It still has that mandate that it had 70 years ago. It continues has that mandate. Let's find ways in which we can allow the UN and all of its services to protect and nourish and elevate that mandate.